Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom and greetings. Hallelujah. We are live tonight. I'm Sister Ashley, your host of tonight's Sister Show. I have another host with me, Mother Jennifer, and I'm thankful to have her tonight. It's been 2 weeks. And I'm sure each of you either enjoyed the break and found something righteous to listen to, or perhaps you longed for our show and you're glad that we're back. But either way, all glory and praises to the Most High Yah, to our shepherd who went live last week, and then the week before that, I was sick. So here we are, and thank you for tuning in. 76 days until the week of Passover, and the land dates are in. So I'm going to wait for Pastor to announce the dates that the land will open up and then the dates that he would desire the land to be closed down. So I'm going to give it some time just to confirm those dates. I have them written down, and I'm sure you'll hear from him. But just know that it's 76 days until the week of Passover. So our Be a Blessing is going to be posted. It's going to go on Straightway TV and Straightway Help Meets. and it's already finished. So next week we will announce it. And bless you, Mother Jennifer in Georgia. Thank you for being with me tonight. And let's hear your voice and get a sound check.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to the Daughters of Zion. It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to be back with you for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray everyone is doing well. I can hear you, Sister Ashley, and when you're ready to move forward, we can go on.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, to everyone who hasn't heard the Lion's Den, that was streamed 22 hours ago, please listen. Please listen to Straightway Indiana Goshen's Lion's Den. It's on YouTube. It's called Beware Lest You Forget Yahweh, and it's just an enjoyable thing to hear. It's only 40 minutes or so long, and please subscribe to Straightway Indiana Goshen if you have not, and support our beloved Goshen saint and our pastor down there. Hey, just for me, just lots of sincere repentance this dead season. I really appreciate the depths that the Father can go to deny myself, you know, and the pride of my life, lots of growth mentally, you know, inside my mind and inside my spirit. And I give all glory to the Most High Yah for that through the acknowledgement of much sin. And I hope that this is also your testimony, not my words, of course, but your own words, and that you have your own very powerful testimony of what the Father is doing for you. And I hope that no one and nothing is taking that away. So praise Yah for the cleaning that his blood allows us to be, to get, and to do. Hey, so tonight me and Mother Jennifer are going to go back and forth. I have some words. I have picked 5 words for her, and she has 5 words for me, and I'm going to say a word. We're going to share our thoughts about that word, and that's our show. And so we hope with the words that we have selected and the input that we may bring or give, we hope that you're also edified, and maybe you can even do it amongst yourself. I know on Skype they talk and all those other things. I hope you get something out of this. Never in vain do we desire to come before you. Mother Jennifer, would you like to give me a word first, or would you like me to give you a word, ma'am?
I will give you a word first, Sister Ashley.
Okay.
The first word I have for you is, it's actually 2 words, greedy gain.
Greedy gain. Greedy gain. I think initially your mind might go, or my mind might go to money or monetary greedy gain, you know, of money. But there's actually a motive inside someone who is greedy for gain that I want to try to make connect with anything inside of you that you need to purge. And greedy gain that I refer to is looking for the attributes or the personality or the service to Yah that's going to gain you favor. And when you are, let's say your motive to serving the elders table is to be seen openly and not really be known for who you are, or your motive to give an offering is not with a clean heart, it's to be seen for what you give, or your motive to clean or to sign up on the chore list or to wash or to cook is to be seen amongst men. Or maybe it's easy when authority watches you. It's easy to do what you do for them, but not easy when your children are the only ones watching. So there's a hypocrisy that drives that greed for gain. And if you think about the, I'm going to bring another word in called attributes, but attributes is just like a quality of who you are. So a part of me, a feature of me, a quality of me, that's like an attribute. So if I say an attribute to gain favor with Yah, but not through repentance, it can be in the flesh. And so a greedy gain to do something for favor that is not obeying him, that's where my mind goes, a greedy gain, and looking for ways to be seen or to be noticed, you know, to have your name called, your name mentioned, your family seen, your family mentioned, looking to do things that make men love you, women love you, friends love you. That's the wrong motive in serving Yeshua, you know. You are accepted and beloved of him, but your sin is not. And so there's a different mindset between the poor and the greedy. You know, and it's all throughout the the word, actually, like the Proverbs, the Psalms, it'll often bring up, you know, the poor or the poor in spirit or poverty or even greed. It speaks of the proud saying through their success that nothing's going to hurt us, you know, and so that flesh nature is easily covered up. That sinful nature is easily covered up by the gains of this life, you know, the possessions of this life, the things that are, you know, so earthly and sensual and devilish. So the poor can actually count on Yah, you know, those who are suffering for the Messiah and because of him, going through distress, going through trouble, they can count on the Father, you know, but the merciless and the greedy will move you out of the way, you know, to be seen, to be accepted. And so that's where my mind goes with greedy gain. I want to give you a word now, Mother Jennifer. Did you want to add anything to that? I don't know if we'll go back and forth with our own feedback, or do you want to just keep it simple and one person, one word, one definition? What do you think?
I think you did very well. I have nothing to add, and I'm ready for your word.
All right. My word for you is defense. Please share your thoughts with the word defense.
Defense. When I think about the word defense, I think about the Psalms. I think about how, you know, David constantly talked about Yah being our defense. Defense is like a resistance against being attacked or something that will guard you or keep you from being harmed. But all through the Psalms, it talks about how Yah is our defense, you know, and how we won't be moved and that we will wait on him because he is our defense. But I think about not only that, but the fact that his defense comes with, there are terms, you know, there are things that we have to do. There's a category that we have to fit. We have to carry ourselves in a certain way. You know, when we try to handle things on our own and defend ourselves, then Yah is going to say, okay, well, she doesn't need to be defended by me at all. So I think this is just a really important lesson for especially women, really, that Yah is our defense as long as we remain holy, we remain righteous, we remain in character, we remain in our roles. It's not just something that is an automatic. We do have a responsibility to take on his defense, to be defended by him, to be guarded against anything that would actually harm us. And that's all I have. Sister Ashley?
I enjoyed that. I'm ready to move on. Thank you.
All right. Your next word is going to be infidelity.
Infidelity. I'm going to pull up a Bible verse. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 6. This is one of my little story time. One of the first, back when I memorized verses, you know, when you're new in the faith and you're like, maybe not everyone did this, but I did this. Me and Granny Barb were trying to memorize the word, you know. I was really trying to get it in my heart. And this is one of the first ones because the 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And from where I was in a high-rise office in Nashville and living in a more of a rural or suburban city outside of that, I'm obviously surrounded by unbelievers. So I wanted to know this verse. Repeating it over and over and memorizing it, which I did, perhaps didn't teach me what the verse meant, like living it, of course, but I want to go there because it says, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And when you review your relationships, and I'm going to go back to, of course, the words infidelity, when you review your relationships and there be any unrighteousness in anyone in your life, how is there a common ground between you and her or you and him or you and your family? How is there a connection? It says, what communion have light with darkness? You know, light shines into darkness. Darkness is no longer light, so there is no communion. And it says, what concord has Christ with Belial, which is basically what oneness does Christ have with Belial? And, of course, the answer is none at all. And then it says, what part has he that believes with an infidel? Last verse I'll share is verse 16. What agreement has the temple of Yah with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yah. As Yah has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their Yah and they shall be my people. That brings up a good memory for me to read that again. It's been so long. Back in the days I recited it. But back to the word infidel, it's only in the word twice. And both times that infidel is mentioned, it is like an act of being unfaithful. Not in the sexual sense that perhaps the world teaches infidelity. And obviously adultery would be a reason for infidelity and separation between you and Yah or you and your partner. But taking that away for a second and going, okay, if infidelity is the action or the state of being unfaithful to someone, or in this case to the Most High, then there's an expectation between the Father and I. There's an expectation that the Father has for me as his daughter. And then there's also an understanding of the low state that I'm in or the weak state that I'm in. So the expectation he has for me is not greater than what I can produce. And then there's an expectation from me to the Father as well, right? So as I produce faith, then I expect him to be faithful to me. And within a marriage or a covenant that's established by the Torah and by the Word, if that's broken, then trust is broken. And if you can't be trusted, I can't be trusted, then, you know, who's in question? And with the Creator, our Father, we are the ones in question, you know. If you have broken trust with your spouse, husband, Creator, you're in question. And so there's infidelity of the unfaithfulness that you could have towards your husband also. Being an infidel to your husband and him not even being aware would simply mean that you can be unfaithful in your mind to him. You know, you could be in your own selfish walk. You could be offended. You could be finger-pointing. You could be refusing to love, you know, when you're in question. And so many times it's very difficult for the flesh to understand how that other person's not in question. But in order for you to be clean and for you to be faithful and not an infidel, then you have to make changes, you know. And in our faith, in our walk, many don't perform faith. I'm going back to the word infidel, someone who is a unbeliever, you know. And many don't perform faith. So believing in our Messiah is an intimate journey that no man or woman can take from you. No man or woman is going to take my salvation away from me, you know. No one is going to make me stop believing in the Almighty, Yah forbid. But infidelity to Yah, you know, what does that really look like in our lives? That would look like selfishness. That would look like a refusal to love someone, even if they don't love you. It would look like a lot of taking and never giving. You know, it would look like demanding and never producing, or a lot of pride and never submitting. You know, an infidel is someone who's unbelieving, untrustworthy, very faithless. And so to be unfaithful would obviously have other mighty ones in your mind. You know, you would have the offenses and the finger pointings and the faithlessness that would not endure as Christ endured, you know. And so it's a lot to purge out of us, but as he said, what part has he that believes with the infidel, you know? So what part have we that those who don't believe? None. You ever even try to share a story with someone who don't believe it? There's just no agreement, you know? So, hallelujah. Hope that makes sense. Mother Jennifer, my word for you, ma'am, is emerge.
Emerge. The word emerge, when I think about, I guess in simple terms, when I think about the word emerge, it would be like to come out. Something that was covered or hidden is suddenly revealed. It's not hidden anymore, or to come forward. When I look at, I'm going to pull something up real quick. When Job talked about, you know, his experiences with Yah. And he says, He says, he knows the way I have taken when he has tested me, and I will emerge as pure gold. So Job was confessing that he would come out as pure gold, you know, that he would come forward and he would be pure gold. But at that moment, he knew he wasn't there because there were things that he had to go through. So it would be a coming forward, you know, again, something that is covered up, something that is not revealed at that time, and then it comes out. It's able to actually materialize. It's able to show up or surface or develop, whatever you want to, whatever way you want to put it. But that's what I think about when I think about the word emerge. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. That's it. I don't want to add to that, Mother. Thank you. What do you have for me?
Next word I have for you is suffering.
Suffering, suffering. I like this word. Let's go to Hebrews 11:25. Hebrews, I might be here a minute. Look, we're already on word number 3, so unless we want the show to be another like 7 to 11 minutes, then I'm going to spend just a moment on this. Y'all, truly, right before the show, I was telling Mother Jennifer, because we haven't spoke today, but I only, you know, right before the show when we go live, her and I go live together on the mic just a few minutes, sometimes 1 minute before the show, and I could just barely get it out to her that my notes, I came up here an hour early to just make some notes up here on the computer. I was kind of typing some things, and it's gone. It's gone. One click of the font button. That's all I did. I clicked the font button to make it 10 size font, and everything, which was probably, I don't know, two pages of typing is a lot, right? Deleted. So anyway, here we are with our word share. That's what we're doing. What did I say? Hebrews 11, by faith, right? By faith, the substance of things hoped for. I am going to Hebrews 11. I'm going to verse 25. And she said suffering. This, I hope Father help me to say what I have in my heart towards this word suffering. Moshe in verse 24 says, by faith Moshe, when he was come to years, when he developed, when he was older, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, that is such a lowliness, because he refused the title and he refused everything that was with the title. Right, so he gave up the money, the glamour, the lights, you know, in our generation. For him, it might not have been glamour and lights, but it was definitely title, attention, you know, sovereignty, authority. And he gave up and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to give up that power. And by faith, verse 25, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, hinging on that word suffer for a moment, there's multiple ways that you can suffer even prior to the faith. That, you know, in life, poverty brings suffering. Persecution in the faith by family brings suffering. Persecution for the color of who you are or the minority that you may be brings some form of suffering, right? The beliefs that you stand for, whatever they may have been, in or out of the faith, that can bring suffering. And so the understanding lies within us of how much you may have suffered with or without your family, with broken people, broken men, whatever the case may be. And then our children, of course, suffering less because we're coming out of her and we're set apart and we're removing curses by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're walking in newness, hoping that we would give them a better life. And so a lot of the suffering that we may have had is not upon them. But if they stand and stay with the Father, as Moshe did and said, it's rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So there is a suffering of affliction with the people of Yah. There is suffering someone else's lack of love, someone else's pride, someone else's whatever the list may be. There's a suffering there. And then there's also self-suffering because of your sin and your mind and your contrariness to the ways of the Father. There's a sense of suffering in that, meaning for us women emotionally, there's a pain attached to not understanding Yah's love as we deny everything about us, you know. And with that idea of suffering, I think about how the flesh hates it, you know, and how the flesh will seek to cover up and to bury the suffering in any way that it can, through possessions, through title, through lust of the flesh. You know, suffering rejection, for example, is not something that most will do. Having that oneness and that isolation with the Father in whatever area he may have you in, when the flesh is constantly trying to reach outside of that circumstance and cover it up, you know, reach out for freedom and reach out for a friend and someone who will fill that void and look for other mighty ones, you know. And so there's definitely a flesh versus spirit inside of us when it comes to suffering. And I choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of the Most High than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And key in on that word pleasure, it brings a lot of pleasure to sin. It brings a lot of pleasure to have relationships that hype you up and don't tell you the truth. You know, it brings you a lot of pleasure to keep family in your life than just telling them the truth or making separations, because you may suffer in your mental psyche. You know, it brings dopamine to engage in prostitution, porn addictions, or drug addictions, things of the flesh. It brings pleasure to engage in a lot of things for the flesh. So to come over here and go, no, I'm going to suffer this, I'm going to suffer what? Possibly accusations. I'm going to suffer what? Possibly less of everything, you know, because we're living in oneness now. So I'm going to give up my much or whatever I so-called think I have for the less, for the body, you know. And so it's just a powerful verse right there. It's one of my things that I reflect on a lot. Was it's one thing to be with the people of Yah, but it's another to have the heart that says, I would rather suffer affliction, you know, because the flesh will never say, I will rather suffer affliction. You're not going to say that, you know, the flesh. It's going to want out. And you don't believe me? What's it going to do? It's going to complain, you know. You want more. Nothing's good enough. I need that. She's got it. Why don't I have it? Like, all that. That's because you're going to refuse to suffer. And if you suffer and become the least of all, as Jesus did, then that means you're willing to let someone else be exalted, someone else be honored, someone else be mentioned, you know, and continually put yourself absolute least and last. And so I just admire, Moshe, and I admire that example in Hebrews 11. Jennifer, I'm going to your third word, ma'am, that I have for you. I would like to give you the word labor. Labor.
Immediately I think about women who labor in the area of childbirth, bringing forth a child. You know, there's a process that a woman will go through, and, you know, there's contractions, and they progress, and they get more intense, and eventually it moves into active labor, but it's all for the purpose of bringing forth a child. So labor is really a productive activity that is for the purpose of producing something. I also think about how we are to labor them, know them that labor amongst us, know those that we labor with. And when you're laboring with someone, you're working towards a common goal. It's not about you. It's about the whole. You know, you're really pushing towards a goal. You're exerting energy, and it's all to achieve one goal. I think when I think about the childbirth aspect of labor, I think about how much it really impacts the woman, how Yah is truly faithful through that process, and how much that process actually changes a woman. And it is meant to mature women, you know. I think about just how labor, when you think about it, when we labor amongst or labor together, it's not just a single individual thing. When you're in Israel, you labor together. I also think about, though, there are times when, you know, we all have our personal relationship with the Father, and we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and that is a level of laboring as well, you know, working it out, labor. You have to work hard at it. We can't be passive. We do have to work it out amongst ourselves. So those are just a few things that come to mind when I think about the word labor. You ready for your next word, Sister Ashley?
I am ready, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Your next word is the word hedge.
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 Hedge. Let's go there. Job. Wrong word. Number four already. Only 30 minutes in. We're doing good. Not gloating in ourselves, of course. I'm saying this is a reasonable service to be on the show and to give you what we have inside of us. So we're moving along, and I appreciate that. And all glory to the Father. We are on number four already. That's what I should say. So Job 1. Hey, so we know Job 1. I like, let's see, this conversation that Satan and Yah had. It's the only one that I'm aware of, right? Let me see what verse. Let's see, Job 1, 9 maybe, and 10 and 11 and 12. Yes, okay. Satan answers the Most High. Imagine those two, however your imagination can go, between these two talking. And he says, does Job fear you for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge around him and around his house and all that he has on every side? You know, Satan saying, you hedged him in. So you bless the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You got this big old hedge. And because of this hedge, because everything's going great for him, let me put my hand forward now and touch all that he has, you know. Just go ahead and curse him, and you're going to see. You're going to really see if Job is this perfect and upright man that fears Yah and eschews evil like you think he does. So what is Satan accusing Job of? Being everything that he's not, you know. While Yah knows that he can make it through. And Yah knows that if I shift my hedge, which is all that he did, he didn't remove it. And I think our flesh, and possibly even my flesh in the early years, would think that the hedge was removed when you take his substance. You know, his family is gone, his home is gone, his land is gone, and the destruction and the literally the sorrow and the anguish that would come upon this man for losing all that he has, except all that we know is his wife and some servants, that pain right there, is that going to feel like a hedge, you know? Is that going to be, you know, when others come and they think they got answers and they just give you more suffering and they just give you more sorrow and, you know, friends even go to him with ideas of what is right or wrong and ways to help him and hurt him even more, you know? So does that seem like a blessing or a curse or, you know, does that seem like a hedge? And so I think about the hedges that we all have, and I know that we can't comprehend his safety, his pavilion, his rock, his hedge, not like he can, you know, not like if he has this hedge over you and you have an abundance right now, or maybe you have nothing right now, does that mean his hedge is not there? No, you know, and so that fire that purges us, that fire that protects us, is the fire that hedges us, you know, within the Messiah. And so he made it through. And the Most High said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, but upon himself put not forth your hand. And so he still hedged him. Even though he allowed him to be tested and he took so much from him, he still put limitations on Satan. And at all times, when we are beloved and in the covenant of the Most High, there is going to be boundaries and limitations that Satan can't go past, you know? And I think that's just something to consider when we worship and praise the Father for what we go through, because his hedge is there. It's not down because, you know, you had a car accident or you ran out of gas or you don't got a home and you can't pay your mortgage and you know, all these scenarios that come I don't want to remove the sin and iniquity that we live in that also causes the payments, you know, and causes these things to come upon us. I don't have a black or white answer for you, but I enjoy the word hedge in the sense that this is the Father's commitment unto Job that we can read, and I know that he has one for me, and it's not based on, and the one he has for you is not based on someone else's idea of what they think Yah should be doing or not doing for you. You know, he's not brought down to corruptible image like we try to do. And so I appreciate his hedge. I appreciate the hedge of protection that he gives us to, gosh, on this community, on this land, you know, to limit the world, even though it comes through great accusations against us, even though we've appeared and seemed to be so many things to the world, that has kept the hedge, you know. Same for, I'm sure, other communities. So we do have to do whatever we can to uphold his righteousness and keep his commandments, to keep that hedge, because the Father binds himself by his word, by his love, by his honor for us. And I could go on and on, but I enjoy that word hedge, Mother Jennifer. Thank you. The next word I got for you is restrain. Restrain.
Restrain. When I think about the word restrain, I think about the flesh and how we have to restrain our flesh, because if we don't, then the flesh will take opportunity to get what it wants. I think about the word governor, you know, how we all have to govern our flesh. We all have to make sure that we have our flesh under control. To really detain it, you know, to detain and to hold and to apprehend those things that would come against Yah and come against Yah's ways, the things that would make you think or behave contrary to Yah, the things that would try to cause you to really feed into your flesh and ignore your spirit. We have to make sure that we restrain our flesh. So the flesh is, I think, the first word that really comes to mind when I think about this word restrain, and also govern, you know, how we are responsible for making sure that we govern ourselves appropriately, that we rule over our flesh and don't allow it to take over, and we actually listen to the Spirit. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. But if we're always feeding into our flesh and not restraining our flesh, then, you know, it's easy to quench the voice of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to really pay attention when you're given instruction, because you're giving over to your flesh continually. And that could be in so many areas, so many things. So to just really learn how to hold back and to detain and to govern ourselves. That's what comes to mind for me with the word restrain. Sister Ashley, did you want to add anything, or you want to go to the next word for you?
Sure. Go ahead. I don't have anything to add, and thank you for your words.
Okay. Next word for you is pursuit. Pursuit.
Pursuit. And definitely not that movie, Pursuit of Happiness, though I watched it so many years ago and I enjoyed it. It's not a pursuit of happiness. It's not where I want to go. Let's see. In my mind, with pursuit, y'all, is like a the Father pursuing us. Okay. Pursuing is also like chasing, right? And I don't mean he chases in desperation, but he pursues each of us. And I'm going to try to explain it very simply. When, or at least for me, when the Ruach abides with us, there is the law written on our heart that holds us accountable to how we behave, that also corrects us and chastises us and has expectations for us, that law. And so there's this relentless, let's go to 2 Peter. Hold on. Let me see. Pull up my trusted e-sword here. 2 Peter 3:14. If you got it, you can post it, Sakina. 2 Peter 3:14. Let me see if this is what I'm looking for. Yes, okay. It says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him." That you may be found of him. Okay, so he's going to find you. How is he going to find you? In peace, without spot, and blameless. So there's this relentless chasing, if I can use that word to help you understand, of the Father towards me, towards you, to make you have his mind. Right? Not to force. That's not how his spirit works. But to pursue you with an effort or a great effort that won't give up, to reel you back in and to allow you to bless you with his thoughts and his mind. That even in your lowest, there's a presence that should be with you. That's his voice. That's his mind. That's his strength. And that pursuit doesn't go away. That even when you have no strength and you want to run, flee, and give up, and even if I consider that death will be a desire for many people over the earth, that's what the word says, that many will seek death and can't find it, right? But I also consider that that would happen amongst Israel in the end of days, that the people would also seek death. That's the manifestation that's coming upon the earth. There's a lot of evil that's already amongst us. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of, you know, Satanism, portals being opened up. There's a lot that's descending on earth through sin, and flesh is susceptible to that. No matter how strong, you know, your flesh may be, it is only through the Ruach and his power that's present with you that's going to be able to withstand these great things. And even that just proves the pursuit of his love, you know, to give you that Ruach, that spirit, that breath of him giving you the strength to make decisions that are not based on your own flesh, because you would not do what you're doing for him or for someone else. You would have been gone. You know, and so he gets all the glory for who he's making us, because we would still be extremely selfish. You know, we would still be full of sin, as some still are, without his pursuit. And that's what makes it scary, when you don't see his pursuit upon people, or you don't see great change, you know, or you don't see lowliness or humility. And it's definitely not about putting your finger out and pointing at someone else's pride. It's you within you, you know, that you should be lining up and measuring up to the pursuit that he has for you. And his covenant agreement is manifest by that pursuit. So thank you for that word. The word I'm giving you in the fifth and final word, and I want to say if maybe there's a word that you want to ask us. Hallelujah, because we're wrapping it up. If you want to type a word into the chat, something that comes to mind, we got a few minutes. Hallelujah. We'll conclude the show with your word. If not, my word for mother is indulge. Indulge.
Indulge. When I think about this word again, I think about how we can feed into the flesh. However, there is an opposite part of that. You can indulge in good things. You know, you can indulge yourself in the word. You can indulge yourself into prayer and fasting. You know, you can indulge in your relationship with the Most High. So I looked up the definition of this word, and it says to allow oneself to enjoy the pleasure of. It says to satisfy or to yield freely to. And then there's a third definition that says to become involved in an activity, typically one that is undesirable or disapproved of. So I gave you the two different ways that you can actually indulge. You can nourish or pamper or satisfy, spoil, which is what the world will teach you, to spoil yourself. Indulge in this so that you can appease your flesh, to give into, you know, to take care of yourself. You know, like women use the term me time a lot in the world. You learn that, you know, to just indulge yourself. Only think about you. When you think about it that way, that is a very selfish way, a selfish mindset. But when you think about the fact that you can actually indulge in the word and you can feed your spirit, you can indulge in prayer and fasting. You can indulge in just really spending quality time with Yah. It doesn't have to be that, you know, undesirable definition that would actually feed into the flesh. So there's two different ways that you can actually indulge. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, nothing to add. I got a word. Hold on. Sent to me. I was just about to end the show, too, at the very second that I was going to say, hey, we don't have anything else. Bless y'all. Here it comes. Guard, and even the more so, Mother Jennifer, I'm going to give you the word guard, and I'm going to say, how do you guard your heart with all diligence and guarding it from pain and from hurt? Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, I think when you talk about guarding your heart from pain and from hurt, there's two things. The first thing is that the world teaches you defense mechanisms. It teaches you survival mode. It teaches you how to go through life without being hurt, you know, or if you have been hurt, you go through life saying, I'll never allow them to hurt me again. So you put things in into place to make sure that you're never hurt again, but this is something that is bondage, you know, it binds you. You're not able to grow. You're not able to love. So guarding your heart with all diligence is trusting Yah, and making sure that you are keeping his way and making sure that you are following his ways. You know, when you keep something that is very important to you, you guard it, you protect it, because you understand that you don't want to ever lose it. You know, this is something that I've never had before, and I don't want to lose it. So it's very important to you. So guarding it is something that you take extremely seriously. So it's like having peace in your heart and peace in your mind and having freedom, and you don't want to lose that. So you do whatever you can to make sure that you don't become bitter, that you don't become angry, that you don't become offended. I don't want to say anger is not a sin, but becoming angry and sinning, I guess, is how I should word it. But guarding yourself so that you don't become bitter, guarding yourself so that you don't separate yourself from Yah, making sure that you do what you need to do to stay close to the Father no matter what. It's not protecting yourself and insulating yourself and separating yourself. It's, okay, what do I need to learn from this? I'll trust you, Father, and just help me to learn what I need to learn. And I understand that you will heal whatever areas need to be healed along the way. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, we got some more words coming in. One says diligence, and I'm going to throw this out there for diligence. Diligence is not a word that doesn't encompass failures, right? So if you are diligent and that's part of your attributes, your qualities, that doesn't mean that you don't have failures. Diligence is maneuvering towards a goal persistently at all times. You know, being diligent in the purpose and the intention of why you do what you do. You know, not like diligence is never dropping the ball, you know, never failing someone, forgetting something, you know, all that. No, diligence is pick up where you drop the ball, get back on, get focused at all times. Don't make excuses for yourself. And I know that's not really like a Bible study word breakdown, but I hope that that helps you, because the word failure is huge in our society. The word, you know, self-hate and failure and these mistakes and this grandiose thing that Satan capitalizes on with the things that we so-called do wrong, you know, it really sways our mind against the Father. But anyway, yes, be diligent in all things. Okay, another word that I'm going to answer first and then hit you back with one, Mother Jennifer, is defining chase keeper. And without, you know, going, once again, without just pulling up the Bible and doing a quick search or going to a verse or anything, chase keeper is, if you think about being chased, it's going to mean one of two things for me. It means abstain, and then it means restrain. So to abstain oneself from evil, from the thing that tempts you, you know, if you're a chase keeper at home, you're abstaining from another life that's presented to you. If you're a chase keeper at home, you're restraining from what the flesh has done or may want to do. And it's also, it restrains you, and it puts limitations on you to be upright before the Father in this behavior. I consider abstaining from the temptation to speak certain things about your husband or your home. You should not speak about your husband or his home in any form of negativity to misrepresent him, no matter what is happening, in the sense of seeking help or neglect or abuse or these circumstances that require attention. Then you know that you have trusted counsel and those that are above you that you should seek. But I'm just meaning in day-to-day, you know, we should restrain ourselves, chaste, restrained, you know, from certain behaviors. You know, we shouldn't have, you know, our husbands perhaps may give you a lot of freedom. Some don't, some do, but you shouldn't take that freedom for granted and act any certain way. So to be a chaste keeper is to have limitations set and boundaries set by your husband on what you do, say, where you go, how you act. It is a limitation, you know, that is safe, by the way. It's not oppressive, you know, it's not binding like chains. It's freeing, you know, it's freeing. It's not, you know, the law doesn't bind you in that negative sense. It just keeps you within restraints. Hallelujah. Chase keeper. I hope that helps. Mother Jennifer, next one for you, ma'am. Just obedience. Can we go to that word, obedience?
Obedient. I guess what comes to mind for me is, you know, the word obey, obedient no matter what, regardless of what I want to do, it's what I need to do. It's not about me. It's about pleasing the Father. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it. It has nothing to do with my opinion, my thoughts. I'm going to obey because I know that that is what is needed. I understand that the flesh has wants and desires, but I know that the spirit has things that are needed to be done so that the spirit can stay strengthened. So obedient thinks about, it doesn't think about self, thinks about Yah, because you are in submission to Yah. And disobedient thinks about self. It thinks about serving self and satisfying self. Sister Ashley?
Another question in the chat, let me see, it said, explaining the difference between obedience and submission. Maybe there are so many similarities that it's difficult to separate the two, but obedience is, obeying is a commitment whether your flesh feels it or not, you know. Submitting is something that is an act of obedience. I think my mind would go more to the word, what's the difference between submit and subject? Because in 1 Peter 5, it says, you younger submit yourselves to the elders. So you have that powerful word of submit. That means I'm going to present something before you, younger, that you may or may not want to do, but you need to do, right? I'm going to give you something that is good for you, you know, that you, as being younger, you're not going to know why. You're going to have all the questions, all the emotions, all the fluff, everything that's, you know, in the flesh as a youth or younger. But you need to submit yourself to the elders, someone who has been experienced, who has been there, done that. But it also says that all of you, 1 Peter 5:5, be subject one to another and clothed with humility. So when pastor makes a statement that says his women do not tell other women what to do, that's true. But guess what? I'm still a subject to them according to the word. So we can't, you know, what he's saying is true and honest. I don't mean that, but I'm trying to present this to your mind that, guess what? If someone here on this land, as a woman, asks me to do something, I'm going to be subject to her and attempt to be clothed with humility to do it. It's just right to do. So submitting myself to an elder might be something that I, you know, completely disagree with, but subjecting myself one to another is an example of humility because they're not in authority and they don't have a position over me or me over you, you know, but we're subject one to another. And hallelujah, I hope that helps, because we want to obey the Father plus nothing. And as long as we can honor one another and subject ourselves one to another to do the things that we do in this life, honor communities, etc., and that's not going outside of him, and that's not going outside of your husband's authority, then hallelujah, we're subject one to another, according to the word. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
No, ma'am. I think you explained it very well. Nothing to add.
Hallelujah. Hey, reproach is another word they say in the chat room, reproach.
Reproach. I think about the word reproach as something that is in place that would hinder someone or that would cause an imperfection in someone, or something that would make an imperfection more apparent in someone. So there would be like a reproach on someone, and it would be evident because of something else. Also, reproach would be you know, an expression or a disapproval or a disappointment. You could give a look of reproach. You can look at someone and have a look of reproach. You can show your disapproval or disappointment in someone with just one look. You can look at your child and show that disappointment, like, okay, you've missed the mark in this area, and I need to correct you with this one look. That's what I think about when I think about the word reproach. Do you have anything to add, Sister Ashley?
Let's see, reproach. I know I like your words. In the word, the reproach is upon someone because of a shame. You know, maybe it's something that they did, like, you know, Miriam, of course, had a reproach on her because of her flesh and her skin changing. That's like a shame, a disapproval or a disappointment that was expressed from the Father, you know, and talks about a reproach being upon a woman who is barren. And in that sense, that shame is very self-inflicted because your love from the Father is still there. He loves you. But the shame is felt from within you because of something that you desire. And so the reproach may be just simply how you see yourself or how you believe others see you. And that form of embarrassment is a reproach that you would want lifted, you know. But, yeah, it's just reproach is a disapproval or a disappointment. That's what I think about. And, yeah, that's what I would add to you, to your words. I'm going to go back to my chat screen and see. Let's see. Quite a few.
In fact, I see the word charity, Sister Ashley.
Yes, go ahead. Charity, please speak on charity, Mother.
Charity, when I think about charity, I think about love. Just thinking of a biblical perspective and how it encompasses so much. You know, there's so many attributes when it comes to charity. When it comes to love, it's not just one thing. You know, the Father could deal with you in one way, but it's love. And then the next hour, he's going to deal with you completely different, but it's still love. You know, the way that we relate to one another is in love. So you might have to correct. You might have to teach someone. But it's all done in love. And I think the biggest thing is the intent or the motive that is within your heart. You have to have an attitude of love towards that person, a desire to love them, a desire for them or a love for them to actually want to succeed. And you have to have a love for Yah first and foremost. Well, that's what I think about with the word charity. It stems from your love from Yah, your love towards Yah first and foremost. Sister Ashley.
Yes. Charity edifies, Paul said. Charity edifies. If you have charity in you, it will edify someone else, not for men-pleasing or out in the open. I'm talking about charity in your heart, behind the scenes, when no one's there but you and Yah. You know, charity that suffers long. You know, consider the charity within a mother's heart who suffers many things that the child may not understand, or the child continues to repeat over and over through mistakes, stubbornness, etc. And your charity suffers long with that child, all the way probably into the grave, you know, into death and separation. And that's the type of charity that we should have, suffering long amongst us, that there's nothing you can do that I won't, suffer through, you know, that love will truly suffer long with you, you know, not have a high demand on the change of your character so that I may love you. You know, and the word says charity doesn't envy. So there's no envy when you're mentioned, you know, when you're high-fived, when you arrive, when you get deliverance, when you get freedom, when you get answers. You know, charity loves that for you. And charity doesn't puff itself up. There's no big I in charity. You know, it lowers itself, and charity never fails. So charity is a beautiful word. I'm going to kick this one to you, Mother Jennifer, but forgiveness.
Forgiveness. You know, I think when I think about the word forgiveness, I think no excuses. There's no excuse absolutely ever to walk around bitter or to not forgive. To not have forgiveness in your heart. Forgiveness is something that is mandatory. It's required, and there's just no excuses at all. It doesn't allow you, Yah never allows us to make excuses to not forgive, because he's placed conditions and terms on forgiveness. You know, we have to forgive so that we can be forgiven. And we have to think about the times, the many times that we've been forgiven, you know, that we've been covered and we've been protected. And so we are responsible for returning that to our sisters, our brothers, whomever. So just without excuses is what I think about when I think about the word forgiveness. Sister Ashley.
When Yeshua had said, you know, to forgive 70 times 7, I consider that each time you forgive should be unrelated to the previous time that you forgave. So, meaning, how many times does a hurt or something that betrayed or broke your trust or impacted you throughout your life, your years, your relationships, how many times does that affect your ability to forgive the next person? You know, and in the flesh, it affects it or can affect it 100% of the time. But according to charity and love and true forgiveness, then I'm not going to remember that deed or that person. That was Christ's really true love. Like, he could forgive me even though you hurt him. And he could forgive you even though I've hurt him. You know, and with all the pain and the affliction, the suffering that our Messiah has bear for so long, charity has suffered long with him. And he's a true example of the forgiveness that the blood was shed to atone for this guilt and this stain that you have on you. Use it, you know, because I'm willing to forgive you. His love is willing at all times to forgive you. obviously with stipulations and you know, covenant agreements that we would continue in a certain way. But that's what I think about with forgiveness too, you know, the 70 times 7, because it my difficulties in unforgiveness in my life is always because of the previous issue. That could have been 2, 3, 4, 5 years or not even the same person. You know, that's just the lust of the flesh, or I should say, you know, the carnality of the flesh. But, yeah, just to truly forgive this person, you know, when, okay, he raped you, she this, he that, and now you carry this in your body and you put up walls and limitations on how much somebody else is going to hurt you again because you don't want to feel that. You know, we've talked about it on the show many times. That's just what the flesh does. But, yeah, good word. I don't think there's anything else. Let's see. Some hallelujahs. Oh, that's a good one, perseverance. We're getting to the end, Mother Jennifer, perseverance. Last word. Go ahead.
Perseverance, I think of just really having enduring substance, you know, not giving up, determination, long-suffering. And I remember Pastor Dow saying a long time ago, he said, you know, a lot of people have no idea what long-suffering really is. And I believe with the word perseverance, I believe that's the same thing. You know, we don't think about how Yah has truly persevered with us, how he has long-suffered with us. And when it comes to us having to persevere or suffer long for someone else, you know, we forget about what's been given to us. So it's really perseverance, I think, about a determination. No matter what, I'm determined. I'm going to persevere regardless. Sister Ashley?
Yes, despite any difficulties, you know, setting goals in front of you and attaining them not at like a race pace, you know, where you just start out the gates running as fast as you can, and perseverance is gonna you're gonna dwindle down. You're gonna get tired, you know. But there's a stability in perseverance that Mother's speaking of. That's just like jogging, you know, continually, despite difficulty. You know, you're going to achieve because of Him. You know, you're gonna get tired and weary when you're doing it for you. Absolutely. You're going to be very self-afflicted, and you're going to suffer because of you when you have many other reasons and many other goals in your mind except for Him. But He gives you perseverance when He's the reason that you live, move, and breathe, when He's the reason that you're doing it, you know, perseverance, hallelujah, because Satan's going to send so much at you when you set in your heart to do something for the Father, you know. And when Satan sends all those things, His head is still there. Hallelujah. I appreciate your words. I appreciate your input as always, and I don't take it lightly that we were here before the children of the Most High Yah, hopefully never misrepresenting Him, and hopefully encouraging your heart just for the moment. I'd like to give a shout-out to Judith Baja if she's able to hear it, and blessed be the Most High Yah. There's a lot of people that I can shout-out. I do also want to shout-out Tia if she's able to hear it. Tia is a great example, and not just her, but of the young daughters that help me so much when I am teaching other children and other, you know, families, children on the land. I also have someone that I can trust, that Deacon can trust, of course, chiefly he can trust, Tia and others. There are others on the land, and I really appreciate that, and I think that's part of just dwelling in safety, too. You know, you put a lot of trust, we do, in the hands of those who have our children. And hallelujah, I hope that you each have communities like that, that you're achieving those goals. And I hope that you aren't living out your fears through your children. You know, it's easy to do when you've been violated and you've been hurt and things that have come upon you in your life. It's easy to try to put that off on the saints and protect your children from the saints when they're not the ones that are guilty. What they are guilty of, what they do say, that's on them, but they're not the people that have hurt you. So there comes a great opportunity to love when you share your husband's children, when you love someone else's child, etc. So don't want to get off into that too far, too long, but wanted to give that shout out. Bless y'all. Thank you for enduring the show. Thank you for loving the show. Mother Jennifer, end it, please.
Hallelujah. Bless you, daughters of Zion. I pray that you enjoyed the show and be ready next week for the Be a Blessing list. And I agree with you, Sister Ashley. Tia is a wonderful example, and we love you dearly. Shalom.